The problem I could solve was I noticed a lot of guys in the self-help community had a very difficult time looking people in the eye, shaking their hand, and speaking to them in real life. So they had issues with networking. Say, hey, we're going to help you with the social media for this gala, and then we're going to invite about 700 female influencers to your event. Then we're going to go on and we're going to create flyers for you, flyers for each individual girl that's coming. And then we're going to try to get some celebrities to come to your event. I have to do the work no matter how I feel about it. Whatever the reason is, you still have to get work done. And so you having that resilience and that dependability, I think, is the most important thing. You know, I live in North America in the 21st century. Any of you right now who can afford a cell phone and to fly airfare anywhere, you are part of the 1% most wealthiest humans who have ever lived on the history of this planet. Of the 110 billion humans that have ever lived on this planet, you are the wealthiest ones that have ever existed just because you can fly on an airplane and fucking own a telephone and you can afford a car.
You're listening to the Real Business Connections Network.
Real Business Connections Network.
Powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC. Subscribe now and check us out at realbusinessconnections.com. Enjoy the show.
Welcome, everyone, once again to Learn, Speak, Teach on the Real Business Connections Network. I'm here today with Michael Sartain. Michael, what's good, brother? How are you?
Hey, I'm doing good. How's it going?
Good, man. Good. I want to start off with something that pisses me off a little bit. And I know some of these people might even be friends or clients of yours. I really just want your opinion on it. Okay. So I see you as actually living the life, but I'm a marketer by trade. And I see people like, they don't even rent the car. Like they just take a picture in front of the car. The model, they paid a model a couple hundred dollars for a photo. They're creating this image that they're living the life just to get sales of a product that often stinks because they aren't living the life and they're really just trying to get a quick buck. And the reason I bring it up is because I just by glancing at what you're doing online and like, what, you have 32 million views on YouTube. And what are some of the guests you've had on the Michael Sartain show, just for some background here?
Oh, some of my favorite were Dr. David Buss, my buddy Dan Bilzerian, Ty Lopez, Dan Fleischman, Wes Watson, Brad Lee, Ryan Pineda. And then I've had, Sergey Dida. He's a physicist on. I've had different people on, several Air Force aviators that are on because I'm, or Marine Corps aviators because I'm a former Air Force navigator. And with that, probably another 100 or so Playboy or OnlyFans or Instagram models that have been on there as well. And just every kind of person that you can imagine. I've had people coming on there talking about religion, being poly. People in there talking about anything you can imagine. But I try to just relate everything back to evolutionary psychology.
So you're tackling evolutionary, like you're going deep on evolutionary psychology.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Legit celebrities in your network. Yeah. You are living the life that people are pretending to live. I guess the two-part question is, what are your thoughts on those people that are pretending? And the bigger question, is it what it's made out to be?
So it depends on which field we're talking about. Are we talking about the pretenders that are in the dating field? That, I think, is dangerous because some of these guys are actually bad, giving bad advice. And they're in the dating space and they're pretending like they know what they're talking about when they don't. They're just copying what they read. Like there's a few guys out there right now. And I don't mean to call them out, but they're like not even changing my words. They're teaching social circle programs and they're like literally copying me word for word. And that's not scary, but it is kind of scary that like you said before, they're like going up to other people's tables and taking pictures with girls that they don't even know. That part I have an issue with. As far as the crypto CBD. NFT crowd that like rent a Lambo and take a photo with it and have a fake watch. That's dangerous. It is, but to a certain extent, like humans are manipulated by seeing signs of status and wealth. This is one of the reasons why Grant Cardone shows his wealth to let you know that he's successful. Even my buddy Bradley, he finally showed that he bought a Ferrari. He has two all black Ferraris, black on black Ferraris. And then my man, Wes Watson, I mean, the guy has like, what, six Phantoms now? I mean, he's just in ridiculous level of cars. Also, my other friend, Steve Demopoulos, he's a defense attorney or he's a personal injury attorney here in Vegas. And this guy just showed like he was in the valet at Paris with $2 million worth of car. No, more than that, like $4 or $5 million worth of cars that were his staff was driving. And in doing so, it created so much buzz online that it got him more customers. I don't know the answer to this, Ben. I'm not going to just come out there and just say it's all bad. I think if you have a really good product and you're not specifically saying, I got this, you know, I made all this money and I can teach you to make this money. I think the problem is if you say this is yours, that's problematic. But if you say I'm driving a Lambo and I can teach you how to make enough money to drive a Lambo and you can't, I think that's a big problem. I think that at that point you're being intentionally deceitful. But there is some fake it till you make it with everyone. Like no matter what the advertisement you do, you're going to show the best parts of yourself. You know, I don't, if you, even with my ads, it's me with a bunch of beautiful women at all these different events. I don't show parts of me like when I'm in the shower, just barely waking up, right? You know, I have better parts of my day that I try to show. So we're all, you know, we're all faking it to a certain extent. But yeah, I mean, I do think it gets a little bit dangerous. But for me, mostly though, the most dangerous stuff are the guys that are in like the dating space who are literally paying prostitutes for their to sleep with their clients. That is a big issue that I've seen. And the clients think that they like learned to get good with women and they give these really great testimonials. And then guys also like, you know, you'll see this often where you'll see guys, they'll be in somewhere in South America and they'll be like, oh, I created a harem or I'm really good, like the or Eastern Europe or something like that. And they'll talk about all the girls they hooked up with. And I'm like, yeah, you're in a country with no middle class. You know, of course, like that's what happened. That to me, of all the things, that is the one that is the most, that's the most, the scariest one.
That's got to be scary because I mean, you know better than I do. But when it comes to meeting a girl, dating a girl, guys or girls, no matter what you do, whether you're polyamorous, so whether you're getting married, it doesn't matter. It's got to be one of the most important decisions we ever make. And if we learn the wrong social skills, that's tremendously detrimental, is it not?
Yeah. In general, the world is going to teach you the wrong social skills, in part because the right social skills, some people will say you sound arrogant or overly confident. And also the majority of interactions, like what we're doing right now is over Zoom. The majority of interactions are going to be text messages or through DMs. They're going to be two-dimensional or even one-dimensional. And so because of that, you don't learn the level of social interaction that like, say, you know, someone did just one generation previously. So yeah, that's a big deal. I'll point out one other thing. I have a couple of friends of mine, like say like Ryan Stuman. He's a great example. Ryan will go off and he'll explain why he gets private jets. He says, well, I'll charter a jet and then I'll hit up a bunch of our clients and then we'll all travel on the jet together and we'll get to go there cheaply. He's not bragging about how much money he is. He's actually teaching you how to like game the system. I have some friends of mine, Eli Facenda and Tommy Longren. These guys actually do travel hacks where they teach you how to quadruple the number of points that you get for all the cars that you travel with. Again, my man, Ryan Stuman, there's a watch dealer that he goes to and the watch dealer will let him wear a watch and he sold watches to people at seminars. And then the guy just gives him another watch. Once he gives him the money, he gives him another watch. And so he gets to wear a $180,000 watch, but he doesn't front like he bought all this shit. He actually tells you the hacks. And to me, because he's giving value, that's why I like Stuman so much. Ryan Stuman is a hardcore closer is because he does stuff like that. Same thing. I was talking to Dan Fleischman the other day. He's like, you know, I try to charter private, but the thing is like Southwest Airlines is just so much better for me. He's like, I use Southwest for everything. And I was like, that's, you know, I appreciate stuff like that, you know? And so I think some of that stuff is cool. The opposite, this is the other thing, Ben, we don't talk about is like the opposite are my friends who are extremely wealthy. Like the CEO of Wish, the founder of Wish is a buddy of mine, Peter Sosluski. And then so is Dan Bilzerian. You know, these guys are worth hundreds of millions of dollars. I know Pascal Mouad who owns Mouad Jewelry. And then there's a couple other guys like that where I hang out with every once in a while. My buddy, Jeff Franklin, the guy who created Full House. These are guys that are all worth at least $200-300 million. And Pascal, I think over a billion. But like the thing is when you hang out with these guys, it's quite the opposite. Like they are not as ostentatious. They have the money. They don't. Dan is obviously the example. Dan has the yacht and the helicopter and the private jet. But for the most part, like these guys are the opposite of ostentatious, but they're not trying to sell a product. The guys who I see who are actually trying to show, like the guy who just made a little bit money in solar and he's trying to teach, to sell you his solar product, that guy is actually showing more women and more bottle service and more Lamborghinis than the guy who actually has all that stuff.
Talk more about that. So what's the guy who's making 10, 20K a month, or maybe they hit their first million? What do they look like versus the person that has the 500 million? What's the big difference there?
It's impossible to say. Like, here's the thing. I think we're getting to a point where people can kind of see through it. You'll notice with me, it's an Apple Watch. I drive an old Lexus. I always wear black t-shirts. I would say I make a pretty good living. I have over 850 clients. The business is fantastically successful. It's an eight-figure business. But you don't ever see signs of wealth in anything I do. And the reason why I personally don't do that is because when I teach you networking, I want to teach you networking using zero money. That's one of the first things I try to teach guys to do. And so if I was sitting there and I was like, hey, throw a huge event, a charity event on your yacht, people would be like, I don't have a fucking yacht. Like, that doesn't work. So for me, I'm like, what you need to do is contact the SBCA, say, hey, we're going to help you with the social media for this gala. And then we're going to invite about 700 female influencers to your event. Then we're going to go on and we're going to create flyers for you, flyers for each individual girl that's coming. And then we're going to try to get some celebrities to come to your event. If I'm the SBCA, I'm like, thank you. Hell yes, let's do that. And that costs you $0 to do what I just explained. And so that's what I try to teach guys to do. So you're saying, it's really funny because there's two parts to this. Number one is not every guy who's doing a coaching program is trying to show ostentatious wealth. There's a few guys I saw. Have you ever seen that one ad on Meta? I actually want to steal this. He was driving in one of those mini like child Lamborghinis, like the real small ones. And he's driving around, check me out in my Lambo. And he was wearing like a fake crown. And then he was like making fun of all the Lambo bros. That part was really funny. The thing that I do think is funny, I think I heard this from Ryan Pineda. I definitely heard this from Jeremy Miner. And that was the guy in your industry who makes low six figures, who just won't listen. He thinks he knows everything. That is an issue that happens with the low six figure guy. A lot of times, like, they're a salesperson and they're like, hey, I make $120,000 a year. These techniques don't work for me. And then, like, I know people who make $500,000 a year off just commissions. Like, so you don't know what you don't know. For me, I think one of the most important things to do is, like, for instance, you know, my friend Wes Watson, he's probably doing $4 million a month just selling a low ticket offer. So he goes direct to cart. And then he also uses text messaging to go back and forth with his clients. And it's really funny because he gives you his actual number when you buy his program. And, like, you can actually text him. And the thing with him is he has no sales team. He's doing a low ticket with no sales team, $4 million, 90% profit. I'm doing like maybe 44% profit, and I've got a 15 person sales team, you know, and I'm trying to grow as fast as Wes, but I can't. Like, Wes is just exploding. I try to learn so much from watching him, watching Brad Lee, Pineda. Ryan Pineda has a 10K program that he's doing right now. He's going to come out with another 3K program. And we go over. So for a 10K, you're going to want a sales team. For a 3K program, you're probably going to go direct to cart. My friend Casey Zander, he has a low ticket offer he's doing. Dan Bilzerian is considering a high ticket or a low ticket offer for his course that he's got coming up. The ultimate low ticket offer, the first one, the one that started it all, was Be 67 Steps by Ty Lopez. And I talk to Ty sometimes about this whole concept. So these are all, you know, really interesting things that you can find. But the your original question about ostentatious displays of wealth, I think there's a small subset that it's doing that. And that is the lifestyle and dating guys. Mm. Does that make sense? The married guy with kids, he's not going to go that much for the Porsche. Like, he doesn't care quite as much. He just wants to provide for his family and get his kids into a good college. Whereas the guy who's like young and single, why is he doing Amazon FBA? Why is he doing solar? So he can meet hotter women. Those guys, that kind of stuff affects them a little bit more. The Lambo and the pretty girl and the AP watch.
What affects you the most? It sounds like you do it for the curiosity, the learning, the people. It sounds like you're constantly evolving. And that's really, is that Michael's secret? It's not that complicated, but it doesn't sound like you're doing it for the girls or for the celebrities. I'm sure that stuff's good. Tell me if you just like it, but it sounds like you're just always evolving and always learning.
I'll tell you why I created my program. This was my why. So I was involved in the self-help community since 06, somewhere around there. This is when my father was killed by a drunk driver. And when that part happened, it was like, for me, the first book to start it all off for me was The Power Now by Eckhart Tolle. And I actually went and, you know, I got into some self-help stuff. I became addicted to audiobooks. At this point, you couldn't do double speed like you could do now. But then later on, started doing double speed audiobooks, triple speed audiobooks. I started taking notes. I got one of the reasons I talk so fast is because I listen to audiobooks super fast. And so I started getting through like 40, 50, 60. I would be deployed in Afghanistan or Iraq, and I would listen to like 60 books in a year, man. I would get through so many books. It was really great. And I just increased my base of knowledge. So that was one thing that really helped me. So in that time period, from say 08 to 2020, that 12-year period, I was actually going out and teaching at some self-help seminars for dating and different things like that. Not usually, occasionally business, more to do with finance. Specifically, I was a stock option seller. I worked I still work for Continental Financial Capital as a portfolio manager. So in those different instances, I would go out and I would speak, but I made $0 from this, Ben. No one ever compensated me for any of this until 2020. So I had about, say, from when I first started working in a gentleman's club in like 2000, all the way until 2020, I had 20 years of experience as far as building a business, building a huge network, dating the most beautiful women in the world, showing up to parties with 60 or 70 girls, basically taking over the nightlife scene or the social scene of an entire city. I had 20 years of experience to do that. And so I would watch the self-help community just in general. So one of the things is when you go to one of these big seminars, what do you notice? Is there a lot of men or a lot of women there?
It depends on the kind of seminar, but probably a lot of men.
Yeah, it's somewhere in the 90 percentile of men if you go back and you actually watch.
Really?
For self-help, there's a few women who are super into it. You know, obviously shout out to the Layla Hermoses out there and my friend Brittany Michaelchuk. She's like that. Just goes to every self-help seminar she can.
Jamie Kern Lima just put on a 14-hour event with Oprah and Tony Robbins and everybody. It was incredible. But you're saying it's mostly men at those events. Why is that?
Well, because I think for men, because of our higher levels of testosterone, and this is one of the things I teach in the program, is that men and women are different. We are different. Men have 17 times the level of testosterone that women do. And because of that, we in general are more assertive. Also, we don't have looks to fall back on. Not all women have looks to fall back on, but some women do have looks to fall back on. And some women have a lot of women want to be professional and be working women, but there are some women out there that are like, I want to get married to a man who provides, and then I want to have children with him. So that's a different career path that most men can't take, right? There's a few stay-at-home husbands, but most of them, they're out there working. So as men, we have a burden of performance that in general exceeds what most women have. Again, I had two female squadron commanders when I was in the Air Force. There's definitely women out there with high burdens of performance, but in general, there are no men without a burden of performance. Does that make sense? Unless you're born fantastically rich, you're born with a burden of performance as a man. And so because of that, because you're always, as a man, you're being rejected. Like, right, the car you want, you can't buy, and the girl you want to date doesn't want to date you, and you can't bench press as much as you want. That's why you go do the workout program. That's why you go do the self-help program that helps you with your public speaking. That's why you go take the dating course so that you can level up in those spaces. And obviously there's women who want to be fantastically wealthy. If you did a real estate seminar, you'd probably see 50-50 men and women. Okay. Mm-hmm. But if you want to do like, I'm going to develop a sales funnel for my digital product or whatever, it's going to be 80 or 90% men, especially when you get into things like coding. Like that's just the way it is. It's just a function. It's a reason why 90% of people who play video games are men. It's part of the male psychology, whatever it is. And we have to understand that, especially as marketers, there's a way that I market to women and there's a way that I market to men. I'm not going to teach a dating course for women as a man. I would teach men, but if I have a business course, I'm going to market to women and I'm going to market to men. So there's a difference when it comes to that. What was the original question?
Who knows? I got a new one for you. So is it a level of, are men actually any less competent, or is it a self-worth issue?
Oh, okay. So this is great. Let's go back.
Please.
What's the original thing I was saying? So one of the things that I would teach guys to try to make it different. So I saw a hole in the market. So for instance, one of my favorite things is this concept of you will be paid in linear proportion to the complexity of the problem you solve. That was Elon Musk who said that. So one of my favorite things is Wayne Huizenga. Do you know who he is?
No, I don't.
He used to be the owner of the Miami Dolphins. He owned Waste Management.
Okay.
Waste Management. Now, the swankiest golf tournament in the entire country. I know people think it's Pebble Beach or whatever. It's actually the Waste Management Open. That is, there are more girls trying to impress more rich dudes at that golf tournament than any golf tournament I've ever seen in my entire life. It's Waste Management Open. I want you to consider that for a second, Ben. It's like Waste Management is such it's a billion-dollar company to the point that a company that cleans porta potties and owns dump trucks. We actually named a golf tournament after that. When Wayne Huizenga started Waste Management Open do you think he was like, man, you know what my passion is? My passion is to clean out porta potties. No, that wasn't his passion. What was he doing instead? He was solving a problem. So from my standpoint, I happened to find a problem I could solve that I was also passionate about. The problem I could solve was I noticed a lot of guys in the self-help community had a very difficult time looking people in the eye, shaking their hand, and speaking them to them in real life. So they had network issues with networking. And I noticed that several of them, when they were neglecting their dating life and their physical fitness, and so that part was also missing for them. So self-help guys who didn't know how to date and they didn't know how to communicate with others in a uncalibrated way. Then I noticed in the dating space, it was a lot of either bad information from pickup dudes, or there was a lot of red pill, not red pill guys, but like a lot of misogynist incel behavior that was in the dating space. It wasn't solving anything. And I wanted for those guys to learn leadership components and the ability to communicate, and then even in better dating techniques. And so because I saw this huge gap between these two industries, so self-help and dating, that's what my program was there to fill the gap, which is almost like consider if Jocko Willink taught a dating course. That would be kind of like a way to explain it. So in the course, it's like you should be able to replace your entire friend group, your entire dating life. You should be able to replace your girlfriend, your job, and your social circle in 15 minutes. If you can't, you don't have enough abundance. And if you don't have that, then I'm the one to teach you. And when you throw an event, there should be just as many women as men at your event. I don't care if you're an accountant, you should have as many. And what I do is I try to teach my clients, have twice as many women as men at your event. I would go, could you imagine if there's a bunch of real estate agents in your city inviting you? Every real estate agent invites you to open houses and all these like meet and greets and seminars. And you get tired of them after a while. They're all the same thing. Imagine if one of them, there were three times as many girls as guys. Imagine if there was one real estate guy and every time it was in some mansion, there's some $40 million mansion and they had some charity event and there was always three times as many girls as guys. Everyone would go to that. Everyone. It's just a function of evolution. Like women see other women and feel more comfortable. Men see other women and then want to go be where that is. So that's something that we teach in our course.
I got a lot of questions for you, but you mentioned a course. How do we get the course? Well, where's the course? What's up with that?
Yeah. So it's just called Men of Action, MOA Mentoring. You can go to moamentoring.com and you can check out the course. Basically, it's like I said before, you want to be the hub. You want to be the center of your social life. So everyone you know should be trying to get their job. You should be getting your friends' jobs. Your friends should be meeting their boyfriends and girlfriends through you. It should be getting employees through you. People should be finding vendors through you. So for instance, like of my friends, they'll come to me to find people to lead their sales team, people to do their funnel, people to edit their videos. I want to be the guy that everyone comes to for advice or comes to network with other people. And in doing so, I'm also the dude who I'm hosting a Grammys party on the 9th and I want to show up there with 200 girls. So all the things I just mentioned before, replace your social circle in 15 minutes, you replace your partner in 15 minutes, replace your job in 15 minutes, and you're the guy who shows up with 200. And when I say 200, I don't mean 198. I mean 200. And if you have any question on whether or not I'm exaggerating, just go to my Instagram and you'll see I am not exaggerating. I mean, show up to a party with 200 girls. This is something I teach you how to do using no money.
Interesting. So you've already answered a few of these questions, but I want to set a scenario and then you can give advice to honestly the man Ben used to be, because I'll put myself on the spot a lot better than I used to be. I figured some shit out, but it took me 10 years to do it. I went through a phase where I would be listening to the self-help. I'd put on a Tony Robbins seminar. I love it's still a great station, Charisma on Command. It's a great station. I'd watch the station to learn about social skills. I was an awkward, young boy. I was awkward. I was weird. But I was also an alcoholic. So what was happening is I'd be watching a YouTube video, laying hungover or even worse, hammered drunk, watching the video. My health was shit. I wasn't retaining the information. And what would happen when I was in a scenario where I could have possibly utilized something that I had learned, I didn't feel worthy. I didn't feel confident because I was literally, imagine having the answers but not taking action. The amount of shame, the amount of unworthiness. You kind of feel like a dumbass when you understand what you quote unquote should do, but you're not taking any action and your life's a wreck. Now, there's a lot that needs to happen there, but what would you say to someone who's going through even the slightest bit of that? I have the answer. I know what I need to do. I understand there's things I can do, but like I'm not taking action. It's not working for me.
So, you know how they talk about this in 4-Hour Workweek? They talk about like name your client. You have sort of like designed who your perfect client is. We have a client called Doug. That's one of our avatars. Doug is the guy who can name for you every single book Tai Lopez ever recommended and every quote Tai Lopez ever had, but has never started an LLC in his life. Mm. He's gone to every seminar he could. He's even assisted in seminars. He's actually been one of the guys who worked for free as an intern to try to help people set up for some big seminar. He's gone to everything Dan Fleischman's ever done. He's watched every Wes Watson video. He's done every self-help thing there is, but he still lives on his mom's basement and he is absolutely mortified of taking any action. So what we try to do with Doug, the reason why my course is called Men of Action is because I was sick and tired of seeing people go to these seminars and then cry, hug their buddy, and then go right back to their mom's basement. We require action. This is one of the big differences. Like if I was just selling a field, these guys who do like mindset courses, I think it's awesome because it's really helpful. But if that's your like, if your KPI is like, have a better mindset, could you imagine like, what is the cost of goods sold on selling someone mindset? It's zero, bro. You know, but what's the markup on selling mindset? It's 100% markup. There's no cost for that. What I do is I have to, my KPI is results. Did you get results? If you didn't get results, I don't really care that you feel better. We talk about fuck your feelings in my program. We do not care about how you feel about it. We want you to be successful. We don't care how you feel about it. Because what I truly believe is the apex experience for the Homo sapien is for humans to solve problems with other humans and for humans to have a family. I think that's the apex experience. So when you solve these problems, normally, like naturally, you're going to feel better about yourself. When you get a new bench press max or make $1 million in your new business or figure out a way to get, you know, proper medical treatment for one of your family members. When you work together to solve these problems, when you do these things, when you provide for your family, that's the apex experience. I will worry more about people accomplishing goals than I worry about them like going to a therapist for their mental health. Not to say, obviously, you should do that. Some people need to go. But what I find often is that people sitting wallowing and feeling sorry for themselves, like a Doug who does not take any action, that is a more unhealthy mindset. And so rather than, it's one of these situations, like then I talked to guys who are very depressed. And then all of a sudden they went on a couple of dates with beautiful women and had sex with beautiful women. And all of a sudden they weren't depressed anymore. And I'm like, so you would like, what's the whole the shit about the therapy then? Like, I don't understand what the point is. I know guys that were depressed because they don't make any money. And then you teach them how to make more money. And the crazy thing happens, Ben, they're just not depressed anymore. Like accomplishing goals trumps the going to get therapy should be the thing you do at the end after you've tried everything else. That's my point. And I know a lot of people are going to find that very offensive because I know going to therapy and the mental health stuff is like very important right now. But like I said before, as men, we have a burden of performance. I have to do the work no matter how I feel about it, no matter how sad I am. You know, my cat died, you know, your girlfriend left you, whatever the reason is, you still have to get work done and people still depend on you. And so you having that resilience and that dependability, I think, is the most important thing. And in the end, I think you're rewarded with what I would consider to be the ultimate happiness and satisfaction is that's an individual who accomplishes goals.
It's funny how it circles around because you say fuck your feelings, but it sounds like by saying fuck your feelings and going and accomplishing what you want to do, it actually gives you good feelings.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, that's like that. Exactly. The accomplishment of the goal is more important. That's exactly right. Yeah.
How do you deal with failure? I'm sure you miss your goals all the time, right?
Yeah. So the three things for me, as far as mindset are concerned, is number one, gratitude. The fact that, you know, you realize you live on a planet where half the Earth's population lives on $1 a day. The fact that you live after broad spectrum antibiotics. The fact that you live in a time where infinite levels of knowledge are available to you at the speed of light on the internet. I have friends that live in Africa and I can just call them for free on WhatsApp and it's like not an issue whatsoever. And it's encrypted. You know, it's incredible. All this technology that's at our fingertips for free and we just don't have gratitude for us. And until you look at, you know, watch a story or TV show about people who lived in the 18th century and you come to the realization how much harder they had. Like they would die from dysentery. They would die from not getting clean water, just incredible levels of you consider the most powerful man in the world, Henry VIII, died of gout, something that's like easily curable today. So that kind of stuff is one is the level of gratitude I have. You have two hands and 2 feet. You can walk around. And even if you don't have two hands and 2 feet, you look at Nick Santonastasso, the dude's missing an arm and 2 legs, and he's still out there dating a supermodel and driving a sports car. Like, why? Because he just believed in himself, right? It's an incredible thing that you can do by having a certain level of gratitude. So that's the first thing. Second thing I'll tell you is present moment awareness. And that is the concept of I do not try to interpret what happened in the past and I don't try to judge what happened in the future. I am totally and completely accepting and surrendering to the present moment, however it is. If my shoulder hurts, If my friend pissed me off, I go into the feelings. I don't resist any feelings whatsoever, but I don't judge them. And when you do so, it stops. So instead of the feeling, you feel a bad feeling, it gets in your mind, you have a bad thought, which causes another bad feeling, which causes another bad thought, which causes this cycle that happens before, that what Eckhart Tolle calls the pain body. This cycle, it stops because I have the bad feeling and I experience a bad feeling and then I don't judge it. And then the cycle has stopped. So that's the second one, is present moment awareness. And the third one, I'm trying to remember. Oh yeah. The utter and complete realization that you're going to die. I think that's the third one. It's like the thing is, like, Elon Musk is more successful than me. And in 100 years, we're both going to be in the same place. So it's one of those things. It's like, why would you not take chances and try to live life to the fullest, knowing that the incredible level of impermanence in your life. And when you completely surrender that, and then it, along with understanding that you're going to die, the realization that, like, the most famous person in the world, whoever you want to think of, you, let's just say it's Cristiano Ronaldo, let's just say it's Lionel Messi or Barack Obama or whoever, The Rock, whoever you think the most famous person in the world is, that person had zero effect on your life today. And he's the most famous person in the world. You're not that famous, which means nobody cares what you did today. Like, nobody. You guys can do crazy stuff in absolute. Dude, try it sometime. Go into a mall, start barking. And like, have people stare at you for like 10 seconds and then walk away. Come back 30 minutes later and nobody remembers shit. Nobody cares. You live in a country where a man fucked a porn star while his wife was pregnant and we elected him president of the United States. We live in a country where a man transitioned to become a woman, ran over someone, killed them, and was named Woman of the Year 4 months later. I mean, I'm talking about Caitlyn Jenner. You live in a country where Oliver North was part of the Iran-Contra affair and became a contributor for Fox News. You live in a country where O.J. Simpson, like, allegedly stabbed his ex-wife and Ronald Goldman 56 times, and now he's on a fantasy football podcast while people are trying to make TikTok videos with him. Nobody pays for shit. You're in a country where they made a movie about a guy who was eventually convicted of securities fraud. He punches his wife in the stomach in the movie, kidnaps his own kid, while he's snorting Quaaludes and having sex with prostitutes. And we love him. He's the Wolf of Wall Street. Now he's a huge sales trainer. You're telling me that all these people were able to live this life with zero consequences, but no one gives a fuck about who you are or anything to do with you. And you're worried about what meme you post, or I'm worried about posting this on social media, or I don't want to start a podcast because I'm worried about what's going to happen. You are not paying attention to the actual world you live in. So that's how I deal with rejection. That's how I deal with failure.
Let's stay on this. Let's talk about death. So ultimately, what you're saying is, with a long enough time horizon, your actions, your wisdom, your words, most of it, if not all of it, probably is going to be forgotten. So with that premise, I'm a firm believer that knowledge, insight, experiences left unshared is just a freaking waste. If you have knowledge, insight, experiences, and you do not share it, that has... you can't create ripples. You can't affect people. You can't pass it along. You are possibly completely forgotten. It was totally a waste. So, talking about knowledge, insight, experiences, what are some of the things you'd like to share that you would just roll over in your grave if you didn't offer it up? Like, people that need to hear this, what are some of the things that maybe aren't sharing enough that you think it's important that people hear?
So finding mentors is probably the number one thing that I will tell you. And that's because it's going to guide you to all the rest of the suggestions I have. When you start following successful people, success leaves clues. You're going to start to notice that they're doing the same thing. A lot of them are doing the same boring thing over and over again. So like this mentor and this mentor, it's like when you get to the top level, they're kind of doing the same thing. You're also going to find out this one massive correlation is that when it comes to like dating and seduction, and when it comes to sales, they're also the same thing. Uh-oh. Like you start to understand, oh, wait, why is it? Why is it that these techniques tend to work on all humans? And that's when you get into the concepts of evolutionary psychology. I would recommend people at least read one or two books on evolutionary psychology just to understand that like the proclivities that you have all at some point during our existence, meaning the Homo sapien existence, aided in survival. Your fear of heights, your fear of snakes, your aversion to the smell of sulfur, those kind of things, you'll notice that is ubiquitous amongst all human beings. Why is that? Because our evolution created us like that. So why is it that men prefer a certain hip to waist ratio, signs of youth and facial symmetry, and women prefer men that are taller than them, and men who have more upper body muscle than women do, or more upper body muscle on average than most men? Why is it that women prefer those things across all cultures? Why is that? You learn about those things when you study evolutionary psychology. Number one would be... like I said before, number one would be finding mentors. The second thing I said was like the idea of you like not taking chances because you think other people care about you. Like, turn your neuroticism off. I'm so many of you who are watching this are like worried about starting a social media account and you don't have 100 followers on Instagram and you're legitimately worried about what other people think about you. That's just arrogance. You're just a narcissist. No one cares what you're doing. When you, it was Neil Strauss who told me this one time. He goes, the key to life is recognizing that it's not all about you. I am only interested in solving other people's problems, and I'm fully aware that my wants and desires are so tertiary in my existence. Like, I will get almost anything I want in the world if I solve other people's problems, not just because I want $1 million. I have to go solve someone else's problems, and before I look, I'll just turn around and poof, there's just $1 million that just appears because I'm solving people's problems. That's the trick, is to recognize it is not your wants and desires. You start a podcast or build a business because you're meeting the demands for other people. That's the trick, is recognizing that it's not all about you. And yeah, just gratitude is probably the most important one. Like, just it keeps you going every day. The fact that, like, you know, I live in North America in the 21st century. And like, anyway, any of you got right now who can afford a cell phone and to fly airfare anywhere, you are, I believe, part of, I think this is an Enlightenment Now by Steven Pinker. You are part of the 1% most wealthiest humans who have ever lived on the history of this planet. Of the 110 billion humans that have ever lived on this planet, you are the wealthiest ones that have ever existed, just because you can fly on an airplane and fucking own a telephone and you can afford a car. Like, it's just madness when you consider that. And because the technology that you can buy now far exceeds, like, there's nothing that the King of England in the 17th century could do to purchase antibiotics, right? So you have your purchasing power purchases you more now. So it's really interesting when you come to these realizations, especially the gratitude one, like, really how bad the majority of the human experience was for the last 200,000 years. And then you think about how incredible you have it today. Just consider, like women dying in childbirth, like above 10%, 25% at certain points during history. And the fact that that's almost gone down, that's less than 1% now. And that's the reason why we have 8 billion people on the planet. It's just little things like that you take for granted. And when you don't take them for granted, you start to have a little bit more motivation and you realize the incredible opportunity and gifts that you've been granted.
Gratitude is huge. I was a little piece of shit. I was an ungrateful piece of shit. I learned the hard way. You're passionate about this. I can only presume that at some point you are a little less grateful. What did past Michael look like? What does ungrateful Michael look like? And how has it changed your life to embrace this?
It wasn't really ungrateful. It was just that it was one of these things where I didn't humble myself enough. So we talk about speed of implementation and suspension of disbelief. If I'm going to pay a guru for some kind of training, I need to fully adopt whatever they're saying. So one of the issues that I've had is that a lot of guys will take my program and they'll try to mix my program in with other programs. And I'm fine with you doing that once you complete my program. But like, while you're taking it, you need speed of implementation, meaning when I tell you to read this book or do this chapter or do this exercise, you need to do it immediately with no hesitation and suspension of disbelief. No, Michael, this thing won't work for me. Okay, well, let me show you. Oh, because you're short and Indian, you think you can't get a pretty girl? Here we go. Here's 50 of my clients who are also short and Indian. And look at the girls that they're with. You see how I've completely destroyed your disbelief? So from now on, I need you to suspend all disbelief and just do exactly what I tell you. The 10,000 hour rule from Malcolm Gladwell, when he talks about it in The Tipping Point, I need you to do exactly what we teach in MOA. For the first 10,000 occurrences, we have a saying in Men of Action, for the first 6 months in MOA, there is zero creativity. You cut and paste for the first 6 months. Then once you come really good at it, you're like, hey, Michael, I came out with this really incredible idea where basically we're going to have like a costume party with a costume party for ALS. And when we do so, we're going to live stream, like, whatever. I'm just spitballing. When you come up with your own thing, then that's going to be incredible. But you need to master the basics that I teach you first. And when you can do that, you're incredible. It's absolutely. Any of you guys have taken Alex Becker course? Alex Becker, he teaches this course. And in the beginning of his course, he starts talking about, hey, man, I know you want to skip around the course, but you need to not skip around the course. You need to do everything in order exactly the way I teach it, or you're going to screw up. And that's what happened often. You'll have guys that'll take my free course and then they'll run off and they'll try to start their own event company, even though they didn't get the proper understanding, and they get themselves into legal trouble because they don't follow instructions. So that's another thing that I've learned. Like, U.S. military very much helped me with understanding the concept. Somebody smarter than me came up with this idea. Let me follow instructions and let me know for a fact where the weaknesses in this are before I start criticizing it. And so That's just something that's been just outrageously helpful for me. And that's something I try to pass along to people. If you need to do your due diligence to figure out whether or not the guru you're talking to is really the person they say they are, please feel free to have skepticism with me. Come do as much investigation on me as you want. Okay. And then once you come to the realization that that person is telling the truth, once you give them your money, you need to fully and completely adopt what they're saying. And I would consider one mastermind at a time, guys. Like the guys are doing 6 or 7 masterminds at once, unless they have nothing to do with each other. Like one guy's teaching you how to flip homes and the other one's teaching you how to do solar. That's fine to do that, but that seems like kind of a waste of your time. That seems like a lot of hours. But I'm a big proponent of The One Thing by Gary Keller. It's a great book where he goes over the way to be you. Like if you focus on one thing for 4 hours, you actually get to 150% productivity. Whether it's you focus on 2 things for 4 hours, you don't get 50% and 50%. You get like 25% and 25%. As you do more things at the same time, that you become less efficient. As you do one thing for longer, which is very, very boring, I understand, very monotonous, your productivity skyrockets.
Yeah, again, looking at the long-term time horizon, if you put enough effort into one thing. I struggled with this in the past. I love reading. I'm not going to tell anybody not to read. It was part of my journey. But I would read books really fast. I wouldn't implement shit. And what I'm doing now is I'm putting together, I haven't done it, I'm putting together my top 10 list. I'm going to read each of those books 10 times. Because do I really need to keep on learning? I feel like I already have the answers. Do you think that most people already have the answers right in front of them and they're just trying to learn their way out of things?
With a few exceptions, I mean, the general answers, you know, work hard. Like Alex Hormozi says, I wake up in the morning and I don't make my bed. I just do the work, you know, that kind of stuff. I don't have blue blockers or take an ice bath. I just do the work. To a certain extent, yes, I think a lot of us do understand an abundance mindset over a scarcity mindset for those things. However, do you know whether or not your ads would do better on YouTube, TikTok, or Meta? You don't know. That's the answers you don't have initially. You have which one of your ads would work better? Can you start generating leads outbound by using your social media platforms? That's something you don't know. And which type of funnel works better, VSL or no VSL? I had Alex Mears come on my podcast and he was like, we started doing sales funnel squeeze pages with no VSL. And it actually got a higher response rate. So there's stuff like this, those specific answers on like metrics, you don't know the answer. Should I have twice as many setters as closers or the same number of setters as closers? Like those kind of things, those are the questions you don't know, and that requires some experience. And I would recommend you guys pay someone to help you with that. Mm-hmm. And the other thing I'll tell you.
And first off, I want to agree with you. I wasn't saying if you know that you don't know, then the way you know is you find the person that knows and you hire them.
Yeah.
But if you hire 11 people and don't implement shit, it gets you nowhere. So if you know you don't know, you just hire someone who knows what you're
doing. I will tell you, there's this magical app called Loom. Okay, guys, learn how to use Loom. You basically take your camera like this and you start doing stuff on your phone or your computer and you film it while your voice is being recorded. And then you send it to a guy that you hired in the Philippines that you're paying $10 an hour to do whatever. And you just do your job for 30 minutes and send him the video. He can watch the video at double speed. He's going to have no questions. And whatever the task that you need him to do, immediately he knows how to do it. He's got standard operating procedures. I would recommend you guys replace every single thing you can in your life that does not give you energy. So for instance, for me, I love going on podcasts. I love being on camera. So that's what I want to do. I'm not going to outsource this, but all the other, like, I don't want to do timestamps on my YouTube videos anymore. I don't want to edit my YouTube videos anymore. Right. I don't want to I do a ton of research on my guests. Now I still do that, but I also have 2 assistants that help me do research on my guests. When I throw events, I don't want to do the personal invites for 4,000 people. I've hired people to do those things to give me back my time. Most paradigm shifting book I've read in the last decade is Buy Back Your Time by Dan Martell. If you want to scale your business, don't hire people to help you scale your business. Hire people to give you back your time. That's how you actually scale your business. So that's another thing that I found that's absolutely incredible is finding just you have a structure and price that makes you money. It was Ryan Pineda who's like, when you get to like, you're making $250,000 a year, that's when you really need to like, your time is now so valuable that you really need to not be doing all these little knickknack things. Like I'm to the point now where like I shouldn't even be taking out my own dry cleaning or getting my car repaired. Someone else should be doing that because there's so many other things that I could do to be productive. It's not that you're more important, it's that your time is more valuable and you could be doing other things that bring revenue back into the company.
Well, you know, why rob the landscaper that's way better at curb appeal than I'll ever be
absolutely
from doing his passion?
And it's hard because you don't want to delegate, number one, until you almost feel guilty making this person do the job that you find to be monotonous, but they're so excited to do it. If you find the right people, it's so terrific. There's guys who like love video editing. Like one of the things that, you know, it's really helpful for me is that the guys who became editors on my team that edit my content, we do 40 pieces of content per day now. The guys who edit my content, they're fans of my program. Like there was a big pool of editors and they went and picked the editors who were like biggest fans of the, my podcast. And those guys love doing it and they enjoy doing it. And I'm like, man, I'm really glad that someone in the world wants to go through all my stuff and do it. Cause I put out 11 hours of content per week. So, and they're willing to grind through it and make, you're going to find there's somebody out there that's willing to do it. The guy who just came and patched up my drywall yesterday and the lady who comes and does my housekeeping. Dan Bilzerian has three chefs, I believe, that live at his house, or that work at his house. He has three different chefs and housekeepers that live there. And that, like, whenever we go there, that do they make the best food? It's so incredible. Like, but the thing is, you're paying these people to buy back your time. And that's what makes it just so incredible.
It's huge. My graphic designer, literally, I don't want to build a huge agency. He does. So I'm building an entire business around his graphic design so he can run that for me. And it's finding those right people. So I want to close with two questions. The first is an easy peasy one. How do we follow you? How do we learn more about Michael?
The easiest way to find me is on Instagram. Just go to michaelsartain.com or michaelsartain.com. Go to Michael Sartain on Instagram. When you go there, you can just message me and I'll be able to message you back really easily. If you guys want to skip that and just go straight to the school server, we have a new server on school, and it's, a members or a free area on school. You go to school.com, SKOOL.com/men of action free. And there's a hyphen in between each of the words. So it's men hyphen of hyphen action. So if you do that, you can join our free school server in there. We're going to have a schedule of events that are coming up, the list, including all the different podcasts that I go on. Mm. We list all those different things. We're also going to have a free call that we do every other Monday for 3 hours. We do Q&A as long as you want to go. I believe I have mystery Eric Von Markovic coming on this Monday. The guy from VH1, the pickup artist, he's coming on. Oh, I had Bill Math on previously. I've had Dan Bilzerian on. I've had Rolla Tomasi on frequently. Justin Waller and Sterling Cooper. I've had a bunch of those guys on my program before. And then a bunch of we'll have a bunch of models that'll come on sometimes. So that's the other way to find me. And then if you are interested in the program, you just actually want to learn the entire program, I would go to moamentoring.com. And then you can actually sign up there. And then finally, if you are a skilled closer, and guys, I'm talking about top 1%. We've interviewed over 800 people and hired 12 of them. You have to be top tier high ticket closer. If you're interested in that, go to moamentoring.com/jobs. And you have to be comfortable with this whole sort of like lifestyle, meet the girl of your dreams brand, you know, fix your social media brand. If you're comfortable with that kind of brand, then definitely come and apply for us. We're looking to expand. We've quadrupled the size of the company every year. So we need more closers.
The team just made it easy for both of us and the listener. All those links are in the show notes. You can just tap it, boom, it'll open right up. Closing question, while someone opens your Instagram, for example, as they're listening to this podcast, they might disagree with you on a handful of things.
Yeah,
answer this question. What are some of the lies that people think about you and respond to it?
Oh man. So it's really interesting you bring this up. So I used to respond to every one of these things and I would have guys like Ty Lopez or Dan Fleischman be like, block and delete, just don't respond. And what I didn't grasp is these guys are 100x bigger than me. And so they've gotten to a point where it's like, not only can they not get caught in the weeds, it's just not worth their time. And then when you get attorneys involved, so my attorney has told me in no uncertain terms, I can't even respond to some of these people anymore. But in generalities, I'll give you a couple of them. Number one, this concept that I pay girls to be in any of them. So when you go, for those of you who don't have any familiarity with my brand, when you go to my Instagram, you're going to see there's just hundreds of girls with me everywhere I go to different events or whatever. And I'm always with beautiful women. And you're going to think, well, he pays these women to be with him. That's an app that's unadulterated, provable lie. It's not true at all. In fact, you can message any one of the girls. And I've said this before, I'll say it to your clients.
to your listeners, I'll pay 50 grand if you can find one single girl I've ever paid a penny to come to any of my events. And they're all tagged. They're all tagged. You can reach out to all of them. You're not going to find any. So that's probably one of the main ones. The second one is this concept that like all of my program is like throwing events and inviting tons of girls to events so that you can meet them. No, the program is a leadership course. It's a mindset course. It's a course on evolutionary psychology. It's a course on being a winner. It's a course on social networking. It's a course on high status networking. And then finally, there is some event planning that's in there, but that's the, that's the dessert. I gotta feed you the vegetables, which is the leadership component and the social networking component. We teach you, if you were to go meet a celebrity or the girl of your dreams, how could you communicate with them without coming off as exceptionally low status? We teach you how to do that. That's actually the core of the business, as opposed to like what people think it is. Because they see me at events at the Playboy Mansion or the Maxim Party or the Ignite Parties or whatever. They think that that's what the business is. That is not what it is. Often another issue that we have often is guys will come in and be like, well, Michael, you know, I don't want to use women to like market my business. Probably 55 to 60% of my clients don't have any women in their social media whatsoever. We do use pre-selection for certain men in like a dating aspect, but that's the minority of people. But in our ads, we use a ton of it just to kind of catch your attention. That's the reason why we do it.
Boom.
Yep.
What do we miss other than a whole program worth of content, brother?
Yeah. Listen, if you think that this, what I teach wouldn't work for you because of whatever, you know, socioeconomic, ethnic, or height issues that you may have, or you don't think you're that handsome, I will show you at least 50 guys who are in your exact same boat. I have one of my clients who's 4'11" and the dude is just crushing it with women. There are no excuses. We will absolutely, one of the things you have to be prepared for if you come on a sales call with us is we take your limiting beliefs and often we crush them so hard that a lot of guys can't deal with it. Like we take your limiting beliefs and we obliterate them. And so a lot of guys aren't ready for that because they're very comfortable in their warm blanket of victimhood. If you're comfortable in that, get ready for a culture shock because there's no victimhood in men of action.
It's fair to say it can hurt to have your scars exposed, but needs to happen, right?
Yeah.
Michael, thanks for coming on the show. Didn't know where this conversation would go, but I appreciate you just showing up and speaking what you're passionate about.
Awesome, Ben.
We'll talk soon.
Sounds good, brother. Talk to you soon. Take care.
Oh, hey, you're still here. Thanks for listening. If you need to take off, that's quite all right. I do have something brand new and exclusive to share. If you believe more hands-on training, peer accountability, and direct access to some of our guests from this very show would be a helpful addition to the podcast, do me a favor and head over to growgettersonly.com. That's grow, G-R-O-W, getters, G-E-T-T-E-R-S, only. growgettersonly.com. Here you can unlock instant access to exclusive high-level mentors, training, networking, accountability, and hot seat coaching alongside fellow growth-obsessed entrepreneurs and business professionals just like yourself. All for, guess what? $1. That's right, $1 for 30 days. What's a grow getter? In short, a growth focused individual, especially in the business realm, who combines the relentless energy of a go getter with a constant pursuit of self improvement and collaboration. Is that you? Head to growgettersonly.com for some community support. This is not for you if you're looking for a quick fix rather than long term growth. Collaboration and learning from others just doesn't seem to appeal to you. You're not ready to be part of a community that relentlessly pushes boundaries. Complacency is your comfort zone. It's not for you. If it is for you, and if you didn't turn this off yet, I do presume you're a grow getter. And I'd love to invite you to join my new collective, Grow Getters Only. Basically, cost to check it out, $1 for a month. It's basically free. Everything is over at growgettersonly.com. Just like I said, growgettersonly.com. Oh, yeah. And one last thing. We do put on free events as well if you can't afford the dollar. Jokes aside, I'll see you on the inside. Thank you for listening. Appreciate you.